I'm Rich Egger, and this is Emphasis. Today's guest is Jonathan Aull. He is the new general manager of Tri-States Public Radio. Welcome back to Tri-States Public Radio.
Good to be here, Rich.
And I say welcome back because you spent some time in Macomb about a decade and a half ago.
Yeah, I started my radio career in 1994 as a student at Western Illinois University and a student employee back when we were in Memorial Hall. And I did news reporting, hosted classical music. I was the stage manager for Rural Route 3. So this is very much a homecoming after a long time away.
You were a music major in college. How did you come to work at Tri-States Public Radio?
Well, the short version is that I needed a job, a summer job, because I was staying on campus taking some classes. And this radio station needed someone who could announce classical music and report news, and I loved classical music, and I thought, how hard can news be? So I signed up, and it was just a great experience, and I learned in short order that I was a lot better journalist than I was a musician, and that started my career path moving away from music and into news, although I've always loved music, and I still do.
You don't still have that attitude that journalism is easy.
No, not at all. It was certainly misguided. I didn't know how difficult it would be, but I also didn't know how fun it would be and how rewarding it would be to cover great stories in the public radio format and really connect with the community. So yeah, that I was naive at the time, and hopefully not so much anymore.
And for our listeners, the people who might not know, where did your career path take you after Western?
Well, after I graduated from Western, I got my master's degree in public affairs reporting at the University of Illinois at Springfield. And while I was there, I worked at WUIS, the public radio station there, which is also Illinois Public Radio. So a lot of the stories that I did there ended up on stations around the state while I was covering the Capitol. After that, I had a brief stint in commercial radio and television, which we'll skip over. And then I was at WCBU in Peoria for about 12 years, first as the operations person and doing some music hosting, then as a news reporter, and then as a news director. After that, I went to Iowa Public Radio, the statewide network, based in Des Moines as its news director. And then after that, I came here.
So a lot of experience in news. This is your first attempt at being a general manager. How's the first week gone for you?
Well, it's been a lot of fun meeting a lot of people and traveling around the region. I was in Keokuk earlier in the week and meeting people and finding out how much they value this public radio service, which I already knew, but it's always great to get that reinforcement. You know, obviously there'll be a lot more administrative tasks than there is just worrying about one department. But so far, the university has been great, the staff has been great, and I really think that this station is in great shape right now and has a lot of growth potential too.
What sort of growth potential?
Well, I've always thought that the best way to run a public radio station is really to focus on the best possible programming to the widest possible audience in the most fiscally responsible way. So I think that there are opportunities for us to build on the great programming we already have, both local productions and acquiring national and international productions and airing them. I think there is an opportunity to look at ways that we can get our broadcast signal to more people and get a better quality signal to some areas where the signal isn't all that great. That's definitely something that I'm exploring. And fiscally, the station's been run very well. Donors have been generous, and the previous manager, Dory Valillo, was just a total master at being very responsible with the money. So financially, we are in good shape. There's always going to be more needs, but it's definitely a solid station right now. So I think that there's opportunities to grow in all three of those areas.
Do you think finances will become a bigger and bigger challenge in the years to come?
I think they always will be, but I think that it's I don't share the view that CPB will be zero funded. I think that the 170 million Americans campaign that was launched by CPB and by its member stations around the country, where millions of people contacted their lawmakers and told them how important public media was to them. I think that was really successful in underlying the need for public radio and public television across the country. I don't think CPB money is going to go away. I do think it's going to change, though, and I think that we really need to have a very close relationship with CPB so that we understand what metrics they're going to use and how they're going to decide what stations they're going to get money and which ones won't. I think they're going to look to be more efficient and have more impact with the dollars that they give out. I don't think that it will simply be, we're a CPB station, hand us our check. I think there'll be a lot more accountability. And so that's something that I definitely am prepared to do. And I have a good relationship with a lot of people at CPB. And we're going to continue to move in that direction to make sure that as those changes come down, that we are prepared to be successful and continue to have the resources that we need to help the audience. Now, the need for private donations is going to continue to grow, both from corporate underwriting, from membership support, major gifts, grants, and we're going to aggressively pursue all of those in the confines of making sure that it is all geared towards getting people great programming.
Do you think you will need to prove to the CPB in order to get funding that you're maintaining and growing the size of the audience here?
Definitely. I think that that's one of the things that that will be part of what CPB is looking for. I think that that proof of performance of local productions, of audience reach, of community engagement, of covering issues and being a public asset are things that are going to be stepped up as time goes on. Now, I don't think Tri-State's public radio is in any real danger of not being able to prove all those things, but I do think there's an opportunity for us to prove that we're doing it exceptionally well and maybe even get more of a share of CPB money as stations that aren't able to prove that as well.
You'd mentioned earlier you've run into a number of people this week who value Tri-State's public radio. Are you also running into people who don't know what we're about? And if so, how do you introduce them to public radio?
Sure. You know, and public radio is so many different things to so many people. You know, you can run into somebody who they say, oh, I love Car Talk, or someone who says, I love classical music, or someone who loves jazz or folk, or, you know, there's so many different pieces of what we do that sometimes when you do make that connection, it's on a very small piece. So I think that when somebody isn't aware of what we do, I do try to maybe jog their memory, say, well, you know, we air NPR News, and we have classical music, and we have folk, and we have jazz, and Garrison Keillor, and Car Talk, and usually one of those things will jog their memory, and a higher percentage of them know something about us than they really realize when they first say that. Having said that, you know, Gary Nell, who's the new CEO at NPR, has said that one of the things we're really bad at as a public radio system is marketing, is that nobody questions the quality of the product, but we need to do a better job of telling the story of who we are and what we do and get more people to find us. And that's definitely something that is, I think, on all stations' priority list, is to figure out, without putting out a huge amount of money, how do you better tell the story of public radio and how do you better market it to people so that they understand it, they know it, they support it, ultimately.
Yeah, that's sort of been a challenge here. We spend all this time working on news features, sometimes series, and we just put them out on the air and really don't do a lot to promote those sorts of things.
Well, and I think the web is definitely going to be an area where we're going to have more opportunity to have those things have a bigger impact, because when you put something out on the air, even if it's a great 5-minute in-depth piece, after that 5 minutes, it's kind of gone out in the ether. But now that we have a strong website, we're posting local content there, it lives out there in perpetuity, I think that's going to help show the strength of our journalism. You know, with rights issues, we have to figure out how we can use the web for music, which is definitely something we need to explore more of. But I do think having the website is kind of that booster follow-up, and for some people, their primary point of contact with Tri-State's Public Radio, that's going to be something that's going to help our marketing effort as well. We have a Facebook page. We need to look at Twitter. There's a lot of things that we need to do to get in the social media as well. But I think that when you start with a quality product, marketing it is easy. You know, marketing a bad product is very, very difficult, and we don't have that problem.
You know, Dory used to say, someday we'll probably be called Tri-States Public Media rather than Tri-States Public Radio. Do you agree with that sort of thinking?
Not really, because I think that the phrase public radio has a certain impact and branding to it that, you know, that kind of transcends the medium. I think that NPR is more known as NPR than they're known as National Public Radio.
Yeah.
And I think that public radio kind of exists as a brand. And I think that you can be public radio on the web with video, with still photos, with text. I think you can still embrace the brand and the quality and the principles of public radio, even though you might be working in a medium that isn't just audio. So, yeah, a lot of stations have done that where they've changed their name to public media. I don't know that that resonates as well. Maybe it will someday. In my opinion, right now, it's stronger to stay public radio. And yes, we have a website and there's all these other media involved with that.
Yeah, some people are still today trying to write the obituary for radio. Do you think radio still has a strong future?
Very much so, because, you know, one of the things that radio still can do that no other media can do as well is be with you when you're doing something else. You know, be it cooking dinner, driving your car, jogging. You know, you can't or you shouldn't be looking at the web when you're doing any of those things. And you shouldn't be watching TV when you're doing any of those things. So I think that as people continue to multitask, I think that as our lives continue to be a little more busy and the pace increases, that there's still going to be a huge place for this. The delivery method could change. It could very well possibly be that a regular over-the-air broadcast signal someday would be replaced by on-demand podcasting and audio things where you press a button and then here's the Tri-States Public Radio newscast and then here's a report from Sylvia Pajoli and here's this. But I think that's a while away. I think that we have, you know, most people, you know, radio still hits 97% of the American population as something that they regularly use, I believe was the number. So I think it's too soon to write the obituary. However, if we don't have our toe in the water of the new delivery methods and the new way that people are going to get information, we could wake up one day and find ourselves irrelevant. That hasn't happened. I don't think it will soon. And I think we do have a good, reasonable course to move more towards newer kinds of technology where people are going to consume the product.
Before we wrap things up today, you want to tell us a little bit about yourself personally, family, some of your interests?
Sure. Well, this is really a homecoming for my family because my wife grew up in Macomb. She's a Macomb High grad, and we met when we both went to Western. So in a lot of ways, coming back to Macomb is something that's really great for our entire family. I have two kids. Tommy is 8 and Lily is 4. And in terms of interests, you know, outside of the typical things you'd expect someone in public radio to be interested in, you know, like I love classical music, I love folk, I love jazz, I love reading news, and I guess news junkie is what people like to call it. Outside of that, some other things I really enjoy: distance running, rooting for the Chicago Cubs, and reading as much as I can.
All right. Jonathan All is the new general manager of Tri-States Public Radio. Thanks for joining us, and welcome on board.
Thanks, Rich. Good to be here.
For Tri-States Public Radio News, I'm Rich Egger.